Hey, look, I just came to praise the Lord. Did you come to praise the Lord today? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I came to praise the Lord. Now, I don't know if you can. I don't really know what your agenda is, but I came to praise the Lord. And I want to preach to you right now on the subject, go ahead and praise the Lord. Just go ahead and praise the Lord anyway. Now, I know you might be going through a hard time. Understand, you might not feel like praising the Lord, but can I tell you, we ought to praise the Lord when we feel like it. We ought to praise the Lord when we don't feel like it. We ought to praise the Lord until we feel like it. That's right. God inhabits the praises of his people. And if you really want to get God in your life actively involved, then just start praising the Lord. Hey, look at me. Look at me just a moment. I dare you to praise the Lord today. In fact, if we don't learn to praise the Lord in church, very likely we're not going to praise the Lord anywhere else. This is on-the-job training right here. And more than likely, if you're not going to rejoice and praise the Lord right here, then probably you're not going to do it out there. This is what God wants us to do, is praise him, to bless him. And the church said, amen. Amen. I remember a man sitting right over here just a few years ago, and the Lord had me to preach a message entitled, Count Your Many Blessings. Let's say that together. Count Your Many Blessings. Say it again. I remember a man sitting right over here, and the man was sitting like a knot on the log. I mean, he just had this blank look on his face, and I said, we ought to count our blessings. He wasn't going to count his blessings. I could tell. He was just like, come on, God, bless me if you can. You know, sometimes we get to that point. God, bless me if you can. And I remember seeing that young man as I was saying, count your many blessings, how God has been good to us. And I'll never forget it. It was not long after church. We dismissed, and it was in the afternoon. I got a telephone call. Guess who it was from? That young man. He said, Pastor, I want you to know I came to church today. He was visiting. He was not a member. He said, I came to church today, and you preached on count your many blessings. He said, honestly, I could not think of one single blessing. He said, I sat there and I heard you talk about counting your blessings. I couldn't think of one. I said, really? And he said, but I didn't know what would happen after church. He said, my mama was in a wreck up in Conyers, Georgia. The car flipped 2 or 3 times. She ended up in the ER emergency room. He said, just after I was in church, I went up to the ER. He said, I saw my mama, and the car was absolutely total. Mama was okay. He said, I stood there in the ER. I lifted up my hands, and I said, thank you, Lord. I want to count my blessings. I want to count my blessings. Hey, look at me just for a moment. The Bible teaches that God said, let everything that hath breath, let it praise the Lord. How many got breath this morning? Let me see your hand. Every one of us in here have breath in our bodies, and God said he wants you to praise him. Let everything that hath breath, let it praise the Lord. Sometimes we don't understand exactly why we are created, and that is to praise the Lord and to bless the Lord. It reminded me of this dear lady. Speaking of that, I heard about a lady that went to the dentist, and she sat in the dentist chair. She was looking at all the degrees, the education of this particular dentist. She saw the name, and she said, you know what? It can't be the same young man that I used to have a crush on when I went to high school. He had dark hair. He was tall. It can't be the same one. No, it can't be. Well, by and by, the dentist came in the room, and he was shuffling his feet on the floor. He had bags under his eyes. He had wrinkles on his face. His hair, what little bit he had left, was turned solid gray. And she said, no, it can't be him. By and by, she said, well, I'm going to ask him anyway. She said, yes, I did. Did you happen to go to Northampton High School? He said, yes, I did. She said, you wouldn't by any chance have been in the graduating year of 1959. He said, yes, as a matter of fact, I was. He said, why do you ask? He said, were you the teacher? She said, that old man, I could have killed him. Anyway, hey, look, go ahead and praise the Lord anyway. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm chapter 107. Psalm chapter 107. Just praise the Lord anyway. And there's some of you today, you hadn't been praising the Lord. Circumstances have robbed you of praising the Lord. People have robbed you of praising the Lord. And you just need to break out of your prison today and praise God anyway. I tell you, I get to the point sometimes where I get down. down or I get distracted or I get overwhelmed with problems and stresses and I forget, I say, Lord, help me to learn to praise you. Psalm 107, stand to your feet as we read the wonderful word of God today. Just go ahead and praise the Lord. Here's where we're going. I want to share with you what the Lord put in my heart this week as I was praying over this. I preached on Psalm 107 for those of you that take notes, and that blesses me to know that you're taking notes. I preached on this text, Psalm 107, a number of years ago, but God gave me something this week I've never seen quite so clear in Psalm 107. And so this is fresh on my heart and never preached it before, but here it is, three reasons why you and I ought to praise the Lord. Three reasons why you and I ought to praise the Lord. And here it is. We began reading in verse 1 of Psalm 107. If you're there, say amen one more time. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let's say that together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. One more time. I can't hear you. Do you mean that? Oh, yes. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Skip over to verse 22. In verse 22, we'll find one verse, and I want to, with the Lord's help, enabling, develop verses 1 through 8. The first reason is we ought to praise the Lord. When I think of, number one, the goodness of God, it causes my praise tank to get filled up, and I just got to praise the Lord. That's found in verses 1 through 8. Secondly, not only the goodness of God, but the blessings of God. I find that in verses 9 through verse 22. When I think of the blessings of God, it causes me to want to praise the Lord. And then number 3, I see it in verse number 29 through verse 42. When I think of the faithfulness of God, it just causes me to want to praise the Lord. Again, verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and desire his works with rejoicing. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless it to our heart today. Father, I confess, and my flesh does no good thing, but I confess, dear Lord, you put in my heart that I've just come to praise you. It doesn't matter if anybody else praises you or not. I want to praise you. I want to bless you. You've been good to me. You bless me, dear God. I know I'm not worthy. I know I don't deserve it, but I just want to come today and before the congregation, the assembly of the redeemed, the people of God, and say, I love you, I bless you, I praise you. I'm not ashamed of you, Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of your marvelous grace and your great unconditional love, and because of your goodness and because of your blessings and because of your faithfulness to me. Lord, you've given us help to enjoy. You've given us families to enjoy. You've given us provisions. And, oh, Father, you've given us eternal life and peace and joy. And, Lord, things that money can't buy. And I want to praise you today. Lord, it doesn't matter whether anybody else wants to praise you, but I believe you've got a remnant here today that no matter what they're going through, no matter what our circumstances are, I pray, Father, the breath of heaven, the wind from the Holy Ghost will fill our sails today as we join in the throng of heaven, the 4 and the 20 elders, as we join them in the book of Revelation and bow before you and sing, worthy is the Lamb. So get glory today. Be honored today. Move us, God, out of our complaining state into a state of praise and worship and thanksgiving because of your grace and goodness. And when all I've said and done, we'll give you the glory for to change lives, save the lost, and revive our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Number one, I just came to praise the Lord. You know why? Because when I think of, number one, the goodness of God, it causes me to just want to praise the Lord. I want to ask two questions. The goodness of God causes me to want to praise the Lord. And here it is, right here in verse 1. Look at it again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, For he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Look down in verse number 8 of Psalm 107. Look at verse 8. Are you looking at verse 8? Look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say that with me. Praise the Lord. Say it again. Praise the Lord. Say it one more time. Let me tell you something. I don't go around saying praise the Lord to try to put on a show. I don't want to say praise the Lord and just be some facade. But what's in you, it's got to come out of you. I'm not talking about being a self-righteous Pharisee going around saying praise the Lord if you really don't mean it. But if you ought to say it anyway, because God inhabits the praise of his people. Look at this. God is instructing us, the people of God, to be the happiest people on earth, praising the Lord. Look at verse 31. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 32. If you say, bless God, Pastor, I don't believe you ought to praise the Lord and shout and all that stuff in church. Well, if you don't do it, you ought to believe in it anyway. Oh, yes, you ought to. Look here, verse 32. If you can show me different, I'll say you're right and I'm wrong. Look at verse 32. Let them exalt him also where? In the congregation of the people. Look at this. Let them exalt him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. What does that mean? It means we ought to praise the Lord when we get together as a church family. It means we ought to praise the Lord whether anybody else does or not. It means that we ought to learn to express our thanksgiving and joy to God and just say, Lord, I want to thank you. Now, for some people, they might be more emotional than others. You might want to raise your hand. Like Paul said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without doubt, without wrath. God says we're to lift up holy hands. It's biblical, and it's biblical. Clap your hands, all you people. It's biblical to worship God and exalt the Lord and praise and worship him from our hearts and learn to praise the Lord. Break out of our prison. Somebody says, Pastor, I think we ought to have a little bit more life in church. Well, it starts with you, and 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 it starts with you. If you're going to be dead in church, if you're going to be lifeless in church, what do you expect of others around you? But God said he's good, and I thank God for his goodness, so I just came to praise the Lord today. Amen and amen and amen. I dare you to praise the Lord. I dare you to praise the Lord. I dare you to praise the Lord today. I double dare you. I triple dare you to praise the Lord today. You know what will happen when you begin to praise the Lord? God is honored, and he gets actively involved in our life. Look, I know it's raining outside, but it's not raining inside. I know it's gloomy outside, but if the joy of the Lord is in your heart, you can't help the praise of the Lord no matter what your circumstances are, because God has been good. God has been good. Look, if God hadn't been good to you, you don't have a reason to praise the Lord. You just sit there and not praise the Lord. If God hadn't done anything for you, I don't believe you ought to praise the Lord. But if God's done some great things in your life, you ought to praise him anyway. Not because Pastor said, but because God said he wants us to praise him. I think we ought to just start learning to praise the Lord. Why? Two reasons. Number one, I want to ask this question. Has God been good to you? I said, has God been good to you? Has he been good to you? Yes or no? He's been good to you. I'm telling you, he's blessed us. He's been good to me. He's been good to us. And the Bible says the Lord is good. That doesn't mean everything's good in my life, but it means God's always good. He's always good. That's why we ought to praise him today. That's why we ought to thank him today. Just praise the Lord anyway. You know, when I don't feel like praising the Lord, that's when I need to do it more. You know, when things are going wrong, that's when I need to praise him more. You know, that's what makes things go right. It's when you learn to just give thanks in everything, because God is pleased when we learn to praise him. Amen and amen and amen. I would to God that God would teach us as a church, teach me as a pastor, teach us as men of God and women of God to learn how to praise the Lord. We come to church, we love fellowship, we love friendship, but we love Jesus more. It's about Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. And I don't know about you, but I came to praise the Lord today. Me. I just came to praise the Lord today. Why? Because He's been good to me and He's been good to you. He has done marvelous things. He has stretched forth His hand of power. How many today could testify? Pastor, it's God who's healed my body. Amen. I was on my sick bed. Is there anybody could have witnessed and testify? I need somebody to help me this morning. Has God been good to you and healed your body? Anybody here? Has anybody here been healed? Has anybody here been healed? Nobody? Nobody? I want to tell you, I've been battling with some sinus and stuff all this week, and I thank God that God's a God who heals. Hey, don't forget the healing of God. Spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing. Oh, God has been good. In fact, if you look over there in Psalm 107, look over here in verse number 20. He has sent His word, and He healed them. He healed them. Yes, that's why they ought to pray. Praise the Lord, and He delivered them from their destruction. Often we're like that man, unfortunately, that stood in the mirror in the bathroom. His wife was standing in the doorway, and he began to flex his muscles in the mirror. He said, "Man, I used to have bulging biceps." And his wife is standing in the doorway of the bathroom. He said, "Man, I used to have a solid chest." He said, "Now it's chest of drawers, you understand?" But anyway, he said, "I used to have a solid rock iron stomach." And his wife spoke up and said, "Honey, got to admit one thing. There's nothing wrong with your eyesight." Hey, look, I just came to praise the Lord. I don't know about you. You can sit there like a knot on a log. You can sit there and act like you're a dead Christian if you want to, because God will just, but you can say, "I'm going to praise the Lord because God has been good to me. Oh, yes, the Lord has saved my soul." Is there anybody here that's saved from hell and saved from the penalty of sin and saved from the power of sin? Is there anybody here that don't have to worry about going out to eternity lost and without God? That's the reason you ought to praise the Lord today. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. I want to urge you, brother. I want to stir up your heart to teach and to instruct and to encourage you and me to learn to praise the Lord. We've come to church today not to be entertained, but to praise the Lord. Oh, but when you leave today, some of you won't be praising the Lord. You've come and maybe you're overloaded, or maybe you've got cares on your mind, or maybe you for some reason you don't understand. That's why we come to church, is to praise the Lord. You see, God loves it when we praise Him, and the Lord begins to do great things in our life when we begin to praise Him. He begins to drive out the enemy as He did in the days of Jehoshaphat. Yes, go ahead and praise the Lord. Just go ahead and praise the Lord. Why? Number one, has He been good to you? Number two, has He redeemed your life from destruction? Can I tell you what happened? Last Sunday morning, as I had the privilege of preaching the Word of God at Northside Baptist Church, shared the Word of God, and thanks for praying for us. At the end of the service, a young guy came down at the end of the aisle, and his daddy was back in the background. The young man's name was Nolan. He was not a young man, but he was a preteen at that age. He said at the end of the service, "The Lord had me to preach about recharging our batteries." He looked at his daddy and he said, "Daddy," during the message, he said, "I believe his batteries are recharged. Mine aren't. I need a recharging of my batteries, Lord." And he said, "I need to get saved. I need Jesus to save me. Forgive my sin." And that morning, last Sunday morning, he came to the altar, and one of the counselors, Pastor Burl Harkey, and his wife Lori, began to counsel with him. And it wasn't very long, about 10 minutes, that young preteen cried out to Jesus to save him. Oh, yes, he did. I said that, to God be the glory. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Have you been redeemed? Have you been bought? fought back. I don't know about you, but I can tell you today, the devil had me in a trap. The devil had me with his clutches, and I was in bondage. But I'm glad that Jesus showed up one day. Oh, bless his holy name, that he broke the grip of the devil. I've been redeemed by the blood. I'm going to praise the Lord anyway, because he's redeemed me by his blood. I've been set free. And the Bible teaches, Jesus said, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. I came to praise the Lord today because I've been redeemed by the blood. Now you might not be, so don't say anything now. Don't praise the Lord. Don't do it if you're not redeemed. But if you're redeemed, I dare you to praise the Lord. I dare you to praise the Lord. I dare you to praise the Lord. Look, he inhabits the praise of people. I know some of us, I know how I used to think when I was sitting in church, I'd say, bless God, the preacher's not going to tell me to do anything. Well, I understand, but if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I'm just trying to get blessings on you. How many want the blessings on you? You learn to praise the Lord. That's where the blessings come. When praises go up. One more time. When praises go up. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's God's operation. God's prescription. How many want the blessings of God? How many want to praise the Lord? Yes, praises go up, blessings come down. Oh, yes, God, help us to praise you today. Yes, help us to praise you today. Number two, there's a second reason I find in the text we ought to praise the Lord, not only because of his goodness. Number two, when I remember, listen to me, beloved, look at me. When I remember, watch this, the blessings of God, it encourages my heart, leads me to praise the Lord. When I think of the and remember the blessings of God. How many have been blessed by God? Let me see your hand. Look at this, verse 9. Go to the text. For he satisfieth the longing soul. That's right. That's the blessings of God. Money can't buy that. The world can't give that. He satisfied the longing of the soul. That's what Jesus does. He's the love of our soul. He brings love, unconditional love in our heart. He accepts us into his family. We become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we're made complete. In him we have all and abound. We are chosen and adopted, yea, predestined to be conformed to his image. We've been redeemed and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what he's done for us. He gives me purpose in life. When I find out there's more to life than land and houses and money and jobs, there's more to life than pleasure, there's more to life than wine, women, and wealth. Solomon understood what the thing about life is to bless the Lord and praise the Lord. His blessings, oh, listen, beloved, look at verse number 17, verse 15. He says, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, I read it again, and his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 16. For he had broken the gates of brass and tore and cut the bars of iron asunder. Yes, he has. And then again, verse number 20. He had sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Now, I need to back up and tell you that most believe in the context, this is probably the Jews as they're returning back to rebuild the temple. Many believe in the days perhaps of Hezekiah. Nonetheless, for today, whatever the psalmist had in mind, I believe is relevant for today and pertinent for today. Why? Because God is not getting the praise that he deserves. Oh, look, praise the Lord. It's good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant. Praise is comely. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let's say that together. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. One more time. Rejoice. You sure it says always? What about just when things are going good? What about when you're on the mountain? What about when you have a 3-day vacation? What about just when you're going through Christmas season? Oh, does this mean we're to praise the Lord in good times and bad times? Yes. In fact, Paul wrote and said, rejoice forevermore, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 16. And then he said in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Let's say that together. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means when you feel like it. That means when you don't feel like it. That means until you feel like it. I know when you're sick, and I understand when you got an old headache, and when all this stuff gets on you, you don't feel like praising the Lord. But you just got to break out of that field like praising the Lord and just go ahead and do it anyway. Some of you tonight, some of you today, right now, this morning, you just need to praise the Lord. It's a breakthrough for you. Instead of complaining, we ought to praise God more and complain less. And the church said, I got a feeling many of you like me are complaining more than we are praising the Lord. How many will put purpose in your heart today? Dear God, I'm going to stop my complaining and start praising you. Oh, yes. Boy, that resonated with the people of God today, because we've been complaining. Hey, look, it's easy to whine about this. It's easy to pick up this negative trash. But instead of picking up trash, instead of looking for dirt and trying to criticize people, if you'll just start praising the Lord, if we'll just start blessing the Lord, we won't have time to criticize each other. We won't have time to fault find each other. We won't have time to nitpick each other, because we'll spend our time praising the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. That's a breakthrough. You know it is. Because you've been complaining lately, haven't you? Oh, I understand. We're all that way, aren't we? Do everything without murmuring and complaining. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, Paul said, do it without complaining. We ought to be praising the Lord. But I know I'm in the flesh. I know I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. I know that I'm not living the Spirit-filled life. Nitpicking and fault-finding and complaining about this and criticizing this person and nitpicking and fault-finding about this. It's a terrible state to be in. I came to praise the Lord today. I want to get out of the hole of complaining. I want to get out of the despondency of whining about this. And I just want to come to praise the Lord. I don't want the devil to win the battle. Oh, some of you today need to tell the devil to get behind you and just praise the Lord anyway. Yes, yes, yes. The blessings of God. Can I tell you something? Here's the twofold proposition to you. Why should we praise the Lord? One, cause the goodness of God. Two, when I remember the blessings of God, counting my blessings. Oh, yes, they outweigh my hardships. They outweigh my troubles. They outweigh my That's the problem. We focus on our problems. We focus on our troubles. And we major on the minors instead of minoring. And we look at the things that are going wrong instead of praising the Lord. I want to tell you, you need to take your eyes off your problems. Take your eyes off your hardships for a moment. And turn them to Jesus and start praising Him anyway. It's amazing what praising can do. Oh, yes, it is. The blessings of God. Two questions. Here they are. Number one, how can we as Christians be sweet in a bitter world? How can you and I be sweet Christians? How many want to be a sweet Christian? I'm talking about the love of God in our heart. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord in our soul. I'm talking about the peace that passes. But here's the deal, beloved. Come on, talk to me. Here's the deal. Many of us have gotten bitter. Many of us have gotten angry. Many of us have gotten mad. Look up here. You know who I'm talking to. Look up here. You know who I'm talking to. You've been walking around irritated. You've been walking around angry. How in the world can we as the people of God be sweet? You know what? I love every one of you. And I'll be honest with you. God's given us a great church family. And the love of Christ is evidently permeated in this place. People can sense it. There's no doubt about it. And yet, I know you can look at me, and I can look at you, and I can tell when the sweetness of God has been replaced with anger and with bitterness and with irritation. And you see, I live in the world, and how can you and I? This is a challenge. You live in the world. I live in the world. But we're not of the world, because greater is He that's in me than He's in the world. And how can you and I remain sweet and not bitter? in a bitter world. We live in a bitter world. Somebody say amen. We live in a bitter world. Man, there's bad news all the time. Turn on the television. Turn on the news. Killing, raping, stealing, stabbing. Bad news, bad news, bad news. Bitterness. You're looking over your shoulder. What's going to go wrong next? And the next thing you know, that attitude can dampen your sweetness, and you can get hardened, and you can get bitter, and you can get irritated, and you lose that sweetness. But I want to tell you how you can get it back. Anybody want to know how to get it back? If you'll start praising the Lord, you can get that sweetness back today. You can start enjoying the presence of God and not walking around angry and walking around mad. Oh, the devil's going to win when he sees us angry and mad and frustrated. I came to praise the Lord. How many want to praise the Lord today? I just want to praise the Lord. I don't want to be an angry Christian out in the world and give a bad testimony to Jesus. Listen, beloved. Oh, yes. You can be a sweet Christian today, but you've got to humble yourself under God's mighty hand. You got to stop doing it our way and stop trying to change everything around you and say, dear God, I'm the one that needs to be changed. And dear Lord, watch this. I've developed a bad attitude. Anybody ever get a bad attitude? Anybody ever get a wrong attitude? And all the negative stuff going on in your job, and negative stuff going on in your family, and negative stuff going on oftentimes with your relationships. And in this world, America, and all the, I start to say Mickey Mouse, all the mess with the politics. Come on, talk to me. Aren't you just a little perturbed? Aren't you a little bit just irritated with all the stuff going on in the nation with the politics and here and there? Oh, but I don't want the devil to rob me of my song. I want to praise the Lord anyway. Why? Because the blessings of God, because the goodness of God. Oh, take your eyes off of the things of the world and look to Jesus, and Jesus will sweeten you up. Yes, he will. Number two, the second question is this. How can we live in an angry world and show the world? Tell me, we're good. How many believe God is good? Tell me, when you're out in public, would people want what you have? How do you treat the person that's working at the window at McDonald's? How do you treat the cashier when you're going to Walmart? What about the people you're driving with? I mean, do you have road rage? If people see you out in public, would they want what you got? Do they see a miserable Christian who is miserable? Nothing more miserable than being a backslidden Christian. Nothing more miserable than being a bitter, irritated, watch this, disgruntled. Disgruntled. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you disgruntled? Are you disgruntled? Hey, you can tell a disgruntled person from a mile off. And I want to tell you something. Listen, beloved, I get that way. And look at me. God's been speaking my heart about this. Don't be a disgruntled Christian. You know what you are? You're a bad advertisement for Jesus. Don't go out in the world. Stay in your closet. Stay in your knees, in your family, until you get a breakthrough. Don't go out in the world a disgruntled Christian and give a bad testimony to the goodness of God, to the blessings of God. If you can't say something good about God and about the family of God, don't say anything at all. And the truth is, we've gotten problems here and problems, stuff we can't fix. Hey, look, you might not be able to control everything, but you can control this right here, and you can control praising the Lord. I came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. The blessings of God. Oh, yes. Somebody says, but Pastor, wait a minute. Do you know what happened last week in Texas, Sutherland, Texas? First Baptist Church, Sutherland, do you know what happened? Yes. I was sitting in the office of the pastor after the morning service. He got a text message from one of the men in the church stating 26 people, including an unborn, had been mowed down, killed in cold blood. What in the world? I mean, you know, you look at that, you hear about that, and I would to God the news would call it what it is. That man was demon possessed. Don't call it anything else. It's the devil. We ought to call it what it is. The devil has got a hold of people, and that's the more urgent need we ought to praise the Lord. And we gotta break out. Watch this now. How can I live in an angry world and show the world that God is good? Notice the psalmist said, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Say that with me. Give thanks. Everything is good. I go out good. It doesn't say, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. It doesn't say everything is good. I go out in the world too like you do, and I talk with people like you do. And I hear this quite frequently. Pastor, if God is so good, why would God allow innocent people in a church of all things? Why would God allow all this stuff to go on? And I want to tell you what is the absolute truth, that God is still good no matter what happens. Man is sinful. Man is evil. The devil is real. He's given us this book right here. We're not on a playground for sissies. This is a battlefield for soldiers of the cross. And that's why we're to arm ourselves with the armor of God. Fight the good fight of faith. Wherever did we get this idea? The Christian life is going to be a life of ease and pleasure. When Christ died on the cross and all the disciples saved John and saved, of course, Judas, who was not in the family of God, how can we escape the persecution and the suffering and the judgment that comes along with this sin-cursed earth? I want to tell you, in spite of the suffering, in spite of the persecution, in spite of what the devil's doing, God is still good. And those that don't know God don't understand the goodness of God, that he could snap his fingers like that and destroy the whole world. How many woke up this morning? Let me see your hand. How many thank God you got breath right now? You don't think you're thankful for your breath? Let it come out of you. You just take your breath away and you'll say, oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You just stop breathing for about 3 minutes and then start breathing again. And you'll say, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for the help we enjoy. Oh, yes, we just take things for granted. But by the way, how can we show an angry world God is good? I'll tell you how. You look at that church in Texas. Guess what they're doing today? Are they running? What are they doing? Digging a hole in the ground in some kind of underground shelter, running? What are they doing? Look at me, look at me, look at me. They're having church today. First Baptist Church of Sutherland, Texas. I just shouted when I saw that. They're worshiping God today. 6-7 days ago, 26 people in their congregation were killed. Others were wounded. I think if anybody had a right and reason to take a sabbatical, AWOL, on church for a while, it would be the First Baptist Church of Sutherland. Them folks are worshiping God today. And you know what? I say glory, glory, glory. I say glory, glory, glory. I don't know if I'd be the pastor whose daughter, 14 years old, was killed. He's leading the service. 14-year-old daughter was killed. I don't know if I could do that. Nobody knows what they would be able to do in a situation like that. But I'm telling you, it's sending a message to the devil and to the angry world. You can't win. God is still on his throne. God is still good in spite of what the devil does. And we're going to praise the Lord anyway. May God help us as the First Baptist Church of Sutherland, Texas. Can we join them today and say, we're going to praise the Lord anyway? Woo! If they're going to praise the Lord, certainly we ought to, don't you think? All right, look. Number three, there's a third reason why we ought to praise the Lord. Not only because of his goodness, not only because of his blessings. Number three, because of his faithfulness. God is faithful, isn't he? Nah, he hasn't been faithful to you, has he? If he hasn't been faithful to you, you have no reason to praise the Lord. But if God's been faithful to you all these years, you ought to praise the Lord. If God has been faithful to you, say, but oh, I work hard and I've earned everything I've got. Well, who do you think gives you the ability to work hard? And who do you think the ability gives you the hands to work? It's God. You don't believe that? God can just have a checkup call and put you on your back for a little while on a bed where all you got to do is look up and start praising the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Look at this in verse number 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. Verse number 29 of chapter 107. Yes, then they are glad, verse 30, because they are quiet, so he bringeth them unto the desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Verse 31. Oh, that Pastor Randy would praise the Lord. Oh, that New Rocky Creek Baptist Church would praise the Lord. Oh, that Pastor Randy would praise the Lord. Oh, that all of our deacons would praise the Lord. Oh, that all of our Sunday school teachers would praise the Lord. Oh, that all of our staff would praise the Lord. Oh, that all of our Christian brothers and sisters would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 32, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Yes, we ought to praise the Lord because of his goodness. Yes, we ought to praise the Lord because of his blessings. Yes, we ought to praise the Lord for his faithfulness. You know what I have come to the conclusion? The more I realize God has been faithful to me, bless me, and his goodness, the more I want to do for him. Now, if you just stop and think, you count your blessings. Will you count your blessings? If you count your blessings, oh, I know you got troubles. I know we got hardship. But oh, compared to the blessings of God, he daily loads us with benefits. Psalm 68, verse 19. It's of his mercies we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Why? He's been faithful. He's been faithful. He's been faithful. When we hadn't been faithful, he's been faithful. The sun rises on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. One little sparrow can't fall to the earth without God knowing about it. Every single hair on our head, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows us. He loves us. He bought us. He's coming back for us. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of all the praise we could ever give him. Oh, yes, just go ahead and praise the Lord. 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 Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Lord, I came to praise you today. I came to thank you today. I came to say, Lord, you've been good to me. You bless me. I don't deserve it, Lord. You have been faithful to me, Lord. And I don't care whether anybody else opens their mouth. I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, because of your blessings and faithfulness. Are you grieving the Holy Spirit sitting there right now? Are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Oh, I don't care, don't you? You want to stand up, don't you? You want to stand up and say, oh, I don't care what my neighbor thinks. I don't care what the person behind me thinks. I don't care what the person beside me thinks. They might think I'm a fanatic. They might think I've gone off on the deep end. But it don't matter to me because I came to praise the Lord today. And they might look at me and say, yeah, I see how you live. But I'm coming out of my shell today. I'm coming out of my prison today. I'm not going to let the devil rob me of joy today. I'm not going to let the enemy keep me browned down. I came to praise the Lord. I want to thank God. It doesn't matter whether anybody else wants to praise the Lord. I came to praise the Lord because God's been good to me and God has blessed me. And I'm not going to just stand because everybody else is standing. I just want to bless the Lord because he is worthy. He is worthy. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We bless you, Lord. As a church, we bless you. You've been good to New Rocky Creek Baptist.
this church. You blessed us, Lord. You don't have to bless us. You can take your hand off us in a moment. But God, we recognize it's your blessings. And as a church, we want to give you glory. Amen. Remain standing, please.